an afternoon spent in the saddle riding round some of the rose groves closest to the manor, with the eternally enduring Mr. Butterworth accompanying him, did not put him in the best frame of mind for trotting out glib niceties to dandies like visiting starship captains. He marched into the house, slapping dust from his riding breeches, and shouting for a drink, a bath, and a decent meal. Having this red-faced martinet figure bearing down on him across the large airy entrance hall put Joshua in mind of a tranquillity sergeant, only lacking the charm and good looks. "Bit young to be skippering a starship, aren't you?" Grant Kavanagh said when Louise introduced them. "Surprised the banks gave you the loan to fly one." "I inherited Lady Mac, and my crew made enough money in our first year of commercial flying to make the run to this planet. It's the first time we've been, and your family turned somersaults to give me 3,000 cases of the best tiers on the island. What criteria would you judge my competence by?" Louise closed her eyes and wished herself very, very small. Grant Kavanagh stared at the utterly uncompromising expression of the young man who had answered him back in his own home, and burst out laughing. "By Christ! Now that's the sort of attitude we could do with a hell of a lot more of around here. Well done, Joshua. I approve. Don't give ground, and bite back every time." He put a protective arm around both his daughters. "See that, you two rapscallions? That's what you've got to have to run commercial enterprises. Starships or estates, it doesn't matter which. You just have to be the boss man each and every time you open your mouth." He kissed Louise on her forehead and tickled a giggling Genevieve. "Glad to meet you, Joshua. Nice to see young Kenneth hasn't lost his touch when it comes to judging people." "He puts together a tough deal," Joshua said, sounding unhappy. "So it would seem. This Mayope wood, is it as good as he says? I couldn't shut him up about it when he was on the phone." "Yes, it's impressive. Like a tree that's grown out of steel. I brought some samples with me, of course, and you can have a look for yourself." "I'll take you up on that later." The manor's butler came into the hall carrying Grant's gin and tonic on a silver tray. He picked it up and took a sip. "I suppose this damned Lalonde planet will start charging a premium once they know how valuable it is to us," he said in a disgruntled tone. "That depends, sir." "Oh?" Grant Kavanagh widened his eyes with interest at the humorously furtive tone. He let go of Genevieve and patted her fondly. "Run along, Poppet. It looks like Captain Calvert and I have something to discuss." "Yes, Daddy." Genevieve capered past Joshua, giving him a sidelong glance and breaking into giggles again. Louise showed him a lopsided grin as she started to walk away. She had seen the other girls at school do that when they wanted to be coquettish with their boys. "You will be joining us for dinner, won't you, Captain Calvert?" she asked airily.
"I imagine so, yes. I'll tell cook to prepare some iced chip lemon. You'll like that, it's my favourite."
"Then I'm sure I'll like it, too."
"And don't be late, Daddy."
"Am I ever?" Grant Kavanagh retorted, enchanted as ever by his little girl's playfulness. She rewarded them both with a sunlight smile, then skipped off across the hall tiles after Genevieve. An hour later, Joshua was lying on his bed, fathoming the mysteries of the planet's communication system. His bedroom was in the west wing, a large room with ensuite bathroom, its walls papered with a rich purple and gold pattern. The bed was a double, with a carved oak headboard and a horribly solid mattress. It required very little imagination on his part to picture Louise Kavanagh lying on it beside him. There was a phone on the bedside table, but the impossibly antique gadget didn't have a standard processor. He couldn't use his neural mnemonics to datavize the communication net control computer. It didn't even have an AV pillar, just a keyboard, a hollow screen, and a handset. He did think that Norfolk had written a wonderfully realistic Turing program into the exchange's processor array to deal patiently with requests, until he finally realized he was actually talking to a human operator. She patched him into the geostationary relay satellite circuit and opened a channel to Lady Macbeth. What the call must be costing Grant Kavanagh was an item he managed to put firmly at the back of his mind. Humans operating a basic computer management routine.